Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the cane of gum.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome. You're here. I'm your...
I'm fine.
I'm your conspiracy-loving host, Lisa Weglin, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in grime, Jarrett, the Kaiju Man Weglin.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
Hi there.
We start our double feature of hideousness in November with a true god incarnate, and we praise him. It's Shin Gojira.
Oh, yes. Shin Gojira, so tasty.
Nobody talks about how fucking good this movie is.
Yeah, some of these purists will be like, nah, I don't really like how they changed the design.
Fuck off. 1,000%.
You gotta have a little bit of some spices here and there, you know?
This movie is unbelievably good. The story is so good.
Oh, man.
The cinematography.
Editing, acting.
Everything.
Come on. You gotta give it to me. Oh. A god incarnate, indeed.
Like, I understand the purists might be upset with no suit.
Yes, definitely.
Understandable. That is understandable.
Yes, that would be the key complaint that I would agree with.
But... The Godzilla in this is terrifying.
Yeah, and it's not like they went like Matthew Broderick CGI or anything.
No, it's like terrifying CGI. Mm-hmm. It's good, but it's just really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just a good Toho Godzilla, I think.
It is. And just such a fan. Every shot is just art. Mm-hmm. Just pure art.
It is. It's I just can't gush enough.
And like it's kind of funny.
Yeah. There's really good witty humor. I mean, we probably don't even pick up
on everything because we're paying attention to the subtitles.
Yeah, and because, you know, there's just different subtexts and different subtleties in Japanese conversation. So who knows?
But like also because we've watched it multiple times now, it was also really cool because we got to see more and more how funny it actually is because you can look more at the actors when you've watched it more mm-hmm. times because you know what they're saying. And it was funny just to see expressions.
Yeah.
That were.
They use the editing for humor too.
Like, yeah. The editing was very heavily used for the comedic timing.
The dry humor. They'll cut to somebody just as a reaction and he doesn't have a reaction or somebody's face is like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about or something.
Well, it seems like a lot of the humor in the movie was like they would make expressions that were almost like trying to replicate the absurdity in anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa! Like,
well, yeah,
and,
yeah.
To me, that was very funny just because I think that they were trying to replicate absurdity.
Mm-hmm. And there's also that hint of, the best way I can describe it is the Edgar Wright cutting, like, mm-hmm. or maybe not just Edgar Wright, just that British filmmaking of where there's somebody talking and they cut to the other person talking, they cut to the other person talking, they cut to the other person talking, and... The people barely are moving their heads. Their expression is not changing. That, you know, it's just that dry talking.
Yeah.
And it's just it's not necessarily funny what they're saying. It's just that that dry editing and the dry talking is just it's almost whimsical in a way, you know.
Yeah, no, the directing in this was so good. I think that this movie should definitely be a sign that American Hollywood should be afraid of Japanese filmmaking, because this is a sign that good film is coming out of Japan.
Across the whole Pacific, Korea, even China, all Pan Pacific, I guess you would call it. I'm not sure what that whole area would be called, but all Asian filmmaking, I guess you would call it. They are really stepping up their game.
Oh yeah, all the South Korean films we've watched recently.
Oh, South
have
Korean.
Been amazing.
South Korean, especially, yeah.
Yeah, the one that was the zombies on the train.
Train to Busan. Yeah,
that was so good. The one that was the monsters.
The Host. Oh, which one?
Oh God, it was the one where the boy was like stuck.
In the River?
Yes.
That's The Host.
Okay, The Host was so good.
Yeah, it's
the
like one, a Korean kaiju almost. It's not like a kaiju size, but it's definitely a monster.
But everyone fucking dies. It's so good. And then the one with the guy on the island.
Castaway on the Moon or something like that.
Yeah. Three amazing films that I actually remember. So, Jarrett, you know, I don't remember much.
Snowpiercer is directed by the same guy that did The Host also.
Amazing film, isn't
it?
So, just saying, we should be afraid.
Yeah, definitely.
Good movies are coming.
I mean, Japan's definitely been there for a long time.
Definitely. But I'm just saying, like, for so long, I'm sure America has been like, whatever, just monster movies.
Yeah.
They're just silly in their suits.
But Akira Kurosawa made some beautiful films in very early Japanese cinema that are revered today.
Seven Samurai.
Yeah. Rashomon. But, I mean, you know, even now, people do, those names do not come to their heads when they talk about filmmakers. So
No.
When they talk about foreign filmmakers, Asian filmmakers usually do not come to their minds. So it's good to see not even just Japanese filmmakers. It's Korean filmmakers and Chinese filmmakers are coming out. So we went on a tangent there, but
we went on a very long tangent.
It's okay.
But it was a side tangent that had to do with the movie. Yes. So the history of this film.
So this came out for us in 2016.
And we saw it at a very fancy theater.
Well, fancy for a indie movie. Well, it's not an indie movie. It's a hard to see movie for us in the U.S.
There was only one theater near us playing it.
Yeah, this is a theater that would play indie movies. That's why I said indie movie. Foreign movies, even though it's a Godzilla movie, everybody in the U.S. knows the name Godzilla, yet it's hard to see a genuine Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
You can always see the legendary Godzilla movies, like the new one coming out, but it was hard to see a genuine Godzilla movie, so we had to track down a theater. It was a very nice theater in North Hollywood.
You could order food and...
North Hollywood, yeah. You could order food. Was that the one? Did that one have recliners?
Yes. Or,
yeah, it had recliners. But yeah, it was a nice experience to see a Japanese Godzilla movie on the screen.
Yeah.
That's only happened to me a couple times.
It wasn't dubbed. It was subtitled.
So this was 12 years after the last Japanese Godzilla movie that was made. That was Final Wars. Godzilla
Which I final guess Wars. Wasn't so final.
No. They didn't want to retire it for a little bit, though. That was 12 years retirement. That's pretty good for Godzilla. Let's see. Godzilla, Terror of Mechagodzilla to 1984. That was only 10 years.
So this was the longest break.
Yeah, it might be one of the longer ones, so... Yeah, so that would be a long retirement for him. That was a way different movie than this one. It was an all-out brawl. Some people liked it, some people didn't. I think it's fun. It's got kooky aliens that are fighting like Matrix style. Matrix was really big in the early 2000s. I've shown it to you before. It's Godzilla just fighting pretty much every dinosaur, every monster in Toho's roster, including the Matthew Broderick Godzilla. That's the one where he fights the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's not the best in the catalog, but it's fun.
You can't hate on fun.
No, you can't hate on fun. That's what most of the Godzilla movies are. So yeah, the history of this movie. So the director of this movie, Hideki Anno, he primarily worked on this series. It's called Neon Genesis Evangelion. Mm-hmm. It's a anime, and it's like one of those mechs, like kind of fighting things. I've been meaning to watch it, but, you know, diving into an anime is not very easy.
No, it takes a lot of energy.
It's easier for some other people, but I got lots of kaijus, you know, and tokusatsu to watch. I mean, except for One Punch Man, that thing.
We're still on our second watching. We haven't finished watching it a second time yet.
I want second season to come out. Everybody watch One Punch Man if you like kaijus.
If you like being alive.
Also, it also is a nice satire of other anime. So, if you like that stuff.
So, the director, he refused Toho's initial offer to write and direct Shin Godzilla. But he was convinced to join when he saw that his BFF.
Oh.
His BFF was Shinji Higuchi had signed on.
That name's a little familiar.
I think we can all remember him from being our beloved camera special effects man.
Yeah, and he also has directed a Godzilla movie before this, GMK, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, All Monsters Attack, from 2001. That's one of the fan favorites, actually.
But, I mean, like, they were so in love. You know, one of them made a documentary about the other.
Yeah. He came down.
Squad goals.
Squoggles. What's that? What's squoggles?
Squad goals.
Oh, squad goals.
Squoggles.
I've passed 30 years old, so I don't know.
Jarrett doesn't understand.
Hideki Anno. Yes, the director of Shin Godzilla went down to the set of Gamera 3.
And was like, hey, what's up, my boy?
Of course, we all know Gamera, the 90s Gamera trilogy is the best, one of the best kaiju, like, of all kaiju movies. Anyways.
He went down to Shinji's set.
Yeah. On Gamera 3, Revenge of Iris, one of the best ones, and he was interviewing him on the set, talking about all three of the movies, actually, but which we used on one of our episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled some info from there, and so they were hanging out, and that was one of his first directing gigs, is directing that little documentary.
About his BFF.
Yeah, and then he went on to do Neon Genesis Evangelion. They actually did that anime series together, and I don't know if they worked together on GMK, but they ended up working on this together, which is great. Who would say no to that? I can't believe he'd say no until his friend was there.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would work on any Godzilla thing.
So despite receiving an official English title, which was Godzilla Resurgence.
I remember that.
The movie is nonetheless released in the United States under its original Japanese title, Shin Godzilla, at Toho's request. Some believe this was because Toho didn't want any correlation with the 2016 film Independence Day Resurgence, which was a stinker.
Yeah, it was a pretty... I mean, I'm a huge Independence Day 1 fan.
Yeah, but the second one was real bad.
And... even though when they announced that sequel, I was like, yeah, another one. And then when I started seeing the trailers, I was like, yeah, I'll still see it. And then like the second and third trailers came out, and I was like, I'll wait till I can rent it. And then it was a bad movie, man. Oh.
When Jeff Goldblum's dad's just driving around with those kids in that bus, I was like, I'm out. And fuck this movie.
When he's at the bus, and then when he's on the boat, too, and he's in the boat, and he's being chased, like, by the ship. Oh, man, so bad.
fuck in that movie.
What? Jeff Goldblum tried so hard to make it good.
Jeff Goldblum, we understand. You didn't try and make it bad.
Yeah. So, by the way, Shin, it means true or one or the one, like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Godzilla in this movie, Godzilla doesn't really have a true translation, but in this movie, they say it means God incarnate. So true God incarnate, that's what the title means.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Of course, Godzilla, the name we've said before, just is a combination of words or syllables, Japanese syllables from gorilla whale. But this is much cooler.
God incarnate's way cooler than a gorilla whale.
But we already knew he was God incarnate. Praise Godzilla.
Praise him.
He's in our hearts every day. So
the plot.
This movie starts like
any other kaiju movie. They're at sea. They're in a boat.
Well, they're in a bay. At least they're in a bay. Tokyo Bay. Right? Yeah, the Coast Guard comes upon a little yacht, and it is abandoned. There's no one there, but it wasn't like abandoned in like a hurry.
It's like perfectly careful.
Perfectly placed shoes, his like whoever it was, the glasses were placed on the table.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just placed there, and then all of a sudden there's an attack, and the Coast Guard is attacked, and then it's gone. And then at the same time as this attack, the tunnels, because Japan has tunnels running underneath their bay, which is pretty crazy. It's pretty cool. I mean, I guess we have those
pretty
too.
Nuts.
I guess we have
pretty
those
too. Pretty nuts to drive under the water.
Go under the water.
Wowee.
We live on the West Coast. I know the East Coast of U.S. has that, so we think it's pretty crazy.
We don't drive under no fucking water over here.
We got bridges.
We drive over to fucking water, and water tell us what to do.
So at the same time, these tunnels are flooding, but not really with water. It's kind
it's
of
like
this
blood.
It's this red, viscous blood-like liquid, which is pretty crazy.
Do they ever explain it? Is that like his cooling system?
They don't really explain it, no.
Okay, well, he like bleeds everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
For no reason.
He vents this liquid. It's really weird. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. So they're trying, automatically, the government's like, what's going on? What's going on?
The government, basically this movie just shows how slow government is.
Yes.
At dealing with disaster.
It really is.
And how many people they will let die.
Yeah, to limit the paperwork. This is about the time we're meeting our hero, Rando Yaguchi. He's the chief cabinet secretary. Don't ask me what that means. They have so many different titles in this movie that they just flash them over and over.
Well, the thing is like you're reading the subtitles too, so I don't know who anybody really is.
They try to help you because you're reading the subtitles and there's like 10 people walking down a hallway all talking to the one person taking turns. And they say, this is the chief strategist. This is the chief something, something. You're like, I don't know what their titles are. Doesn't matter. Just tell me what they're saying. But yeah, this is Rando Yaguchi. He's a very handsome Japanese man.
Young, up and coming.
Pretty high up and coming dude. He theorizes that this is a living creature, and they're like, ha, you stupid idiot. And then immediately they see it's a living creature.
Yeah, like a tail rises up out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they're like, oops.
I guess it's not a volcano or whatever. That's what they were saying before. And so they're like, oh, this is a creature. And then they're like, okay, we got to address the public. This thing is not going to leave the water. And then the guy that's addressing the public.
The prime minister.
Is immediately, somebody walks up to him while he's addressing the public and says, it's leaving the water.
And he's like, it's what? So it just keeps doing everything no one expects it to do.
Yeah. So at first, They don't really show you like its first form, so because this thing is an evolving creature.
Yeah,
it's all we see is this tail, because it could have been a worm or like a eel-like thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing, they say it's kind of like a lungfish. It's kind of like a slug with little legs and two kind of arms.
Oh, it's so scary it's looking. Like
a, yeah, it's kind of like a salamander with no front arms, I would say, and mm-hmm. a long tail. This is called Kamata-kun. That's the nickname that Godzilla fans have given it. Because Kamata is the district it appears. So they they give it the district it appears. The
That's name. So creative.
And why don't you describe what it looks like? Why don't you say what you think it looks like? Like the eyes and...
The eyes, it looks like fish eyes. And it just has, it has like these horrible gills and it just like vents blood everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it just wiggles back and forth and it looks like our dog. Because it just has a big smile on its face.
Yeah, it has a huge smile on its face and it just uses its head to move cars out of the way. It doesn't, because it doesn't have front arm. It doesn't have forearms. So
yeah, so it wiggles everywhere.
And it just put, it's like a bulldozer and it just gathers cars and debris and it just, a big, big pile of cars. It's just crazy to see, like.
It's terrifying to watch. But it's also really funny because it has just a giant smile on its face.
Yeah. And it's very terrifying because the images are very reminiscent of the tsunami. Because it's pushing boats and water in on this small... Because like, the Kamata district is kind of like a smaller like fishing... Not fishing district, but like a suburban, like smaller housing district, you know? So these people are running and these boats are coming in at them. It's freaking crazy. Like the footage that I watched live, I woke up and watched that footage live of that tsunami. And it was crazy to watch. The next, it immediately evolves into the next form, Shinagawa-kun, which is the next district it's in. And it's the two-legged version. And it can roar.
Yeah, and it just gets up on its back legs.
And it can roar and it has two little arms. I mean, its arms don't really get big in this movie anyways.
Yeah, it's pretty useless, its arms.
And it's, the government's trying to get things together.
But it's just so slow.
And they're finally getting together and they get the helicopters out there. But then there's one civilian in the way.
And so the prime minister shuts everything down.
I mean, I definitely don't want civilian casualties, but.
But if it's going to save the rest of your country.
But they could not get the things together to get the evacuation going either. So they really got to cut that bureaucracy down. And you'll see later on that that's what they end up doing. And that's how they get things done. Working together and the departments working together is really the theme to this movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is when they start working together and when the countries start working together. Is how they solve the Godzilla problem. And the U.S. in this movie is the one that's not working with anybody.
U.S. is an asshole in this movie.
Because France works with Japan to help out. I think it's Germany lets them use their supercomputers. Or it might have been Sweden.
It's a Dutch country.
It's some that kind of accent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Switzerland or something.
Yeah, it's all about... working together, and I mean, it is about Japan helping itself, but it really is about working together as well. Gotta help. I mean, everybody's trying to take credit for themselves. All the departments are trying to take credit for trying to annihilate Godzilla, and then the countries want to take credit for annihilating Godzilla, but you gotta work together to do it. You
mm-hmm.
know? I think that's the theme for this movie. Sorry for that tangent.
Sorry.
I had to get it out of my head before I lost it.
So after Godzilla gets into his form with his tiny arms, the helicopters abandon him because they don't want to shoot a civilian.
Yeah.
He goes back to the sea.
You see like him start to glow red. He like starts and then he like freaks out for a second and then he like charges into the sea like faster than he's ever moved.
Yeah. And they theorize it's to, after they realize that he's nuclear, they theorize it's to cool down after evolving.
Yeah. After he evolves, apparently he heats up crazy amounts.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out what to do. They're still having problems working together at this point. Before they can even figure out what to do, he appears again. Right.
Well, and at this point, the scientists have come together.
That's right.
And they're working together to find a solution, but they're just not at the right moment. And Godzilla comes back, and so they're like, sorry, we don't have our plan together. So once again, the National Self-Defense Force.
Yeah.
They come together to try and fight off Godzilla, and nothing gets through his skin. And he's evolved again at this point.
Oh, yeah. He's massive. Bigger than any Godzilla in any movie, by the way. Machine guns, missiles, tanks, nothing works.
Yeah. And then the U.S. bombs him.
Yeah.
And it kind of works until he flips the fuck out and lasers him.
Yeah, they break the skin because none of the other things have been able to even break the skin. It's not even phasing him at all. He just keeps moving. It's so creepy.
And his eyes are so scary, and he just...
Yeah.
But you can even see, like, when the bombs, like, hit him, Jarrett pointed this out, his eyes just, like, cover up.
Yeah, like when a shark bites something, you know, the protective film or whatever, that's what he has. It's really creepy, even though it's kind of like how he has the shark teeth, too. Maybe that's, like, because they say he's a ancient sea creature, older than the dinosaurs, even. So maybe that's kind of like how he is.
But that's just, it's so scary. So when he, like, totally defeats the bombers.
Yeah.
Then
he has a power we've never seen Godzilla have before.
Yeah. And he's just shredding the city, setting fires everywhere. And then he just freezes.
Yeah.
So basically they figure out that they have 2 weeks to fix the problem before the world's going to nuke Japan.
Yeah. The U.S. is tired of Japan trying to solve their own problems. And they have statisticians, people working out the problem, saying that there's a certain amount of chance that Godzilla is going to come to the U.S. and they don't like that.
Yeah, there's like 18% chance or something it's going to be in the West Coast.
They don't like that. And, you know, the big ball swinging U.S. that it is, they're like, okay, we got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Take this into our own hands.
And then they freak out the rest of the world. So the rest of the world's like, we got to nuke Japan.
It just so happens that a little bit of secret information has come to the hands of this group of people, of departments that are working together to fight Godzilla. That Godzilla was created by nuclear waste.
Yes.
The boat at the beginning was owned by a man that was researching this stuff. His wife was killed by radiation poisoning. And he knew that Godzilla was going to come. And he was just dropping this research right when Godzilla was going to happen.
and didn't he, like, his last words were like, do what you want or whatever? Yeah,
do what you want. Like, if you want to bomb yourselves to kill him, do that. Or if you want to do it a more scientific way or, like, you know, a less violent way. Like, you want to think it out without bombing your own country or letting other countries do it for you. And do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Yaguchi takes that kind of as a challenge, and he and his crack team does it for himself.
Yeah, and they come up with this blood coagulate.
Yeah,
and they make sure that it's going to work on the specific blood that Godzilla has and everything. Yeah. And that's why it took so damn long,
mm-hmm.
and they had to create enough and everything. So finally, this last battle happens where they have to do it right before the bombing is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
where they're going to nuke Japan. And this is going to save like 3 million lives.
Yeah, it would just leave the whole country in shambles.
Yeah. Like if the nuclear explosion happened, they would have to evacuate 3 million people. It would destroy Tokyo.
Yeah.
Like, but it's insane.
They're willing to take that chance, though.
Yeah, so this whole plan happens where they like bomb Godzilla so that he wakes up, and then he's going to use up all his energy because he's going to fire at these drone bombers.
Yeah.
And then once he uses up all his energy, they'll knock him down and they'll pump him full of this blood coagulant.
Yeah. They drop some, like, all the skyscrapers on top of him.
Yeah. So eventually, after a few attempts where he murders a bunch of them, they do get the blood coagulate all the way in, And Godzilla stands one final time. And then he freezes.
Freezes like a statue over Japan. It's so cool. At the very tip of Godzilla's tail, there are like skeletons like clawing out. And those skeletons have like Godzilla spines on their back.
Yeah, and Jarrett was telling me that maybe these were like the next evolution. There are going to be a bunch of human-sized.
Yeah, that they were saying like things. this creature, this Godzilla, has like the ability to evolve into anything. He can evolve wings to fly to colonize the whole Earth or destroy the whole Earth, whatever it wants to do. It can also evolve into tiny, small things like humans, or to colonize the Earth or destroy the Earth, whatever it wants to do. You know, it's been evolving on Earth longer than the dinosaurs. That's what they're saying. And it's also upgraded with the radioactivity. So who knows what it can evolve or what it can do.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Shin Godzilla.
Shin Gojira.
Shin Gojira. Well, there's some interesting things. The day people first encounter the titular monster is supposed to be November 3rd, an obvious reference to March 11th, the day of the 2011 Tohoku earthquake commenced. It is also a reference to the Japanese release date of the original 1954 Godzilla film, which was on November 3rd, 1954.
Yeah, like I said, there's definitely a lot of references to that earthquake and that tsunami. I mean, there's tons of visual.
This is definitely, I think, a huge statement. I think, because every Godzilla movie, I think, has something to say about what's going on in the country or the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I really love Godzilla movies, is because they really have something to say. And I think that one of the things that this movie has to say is what the government does when disasters happen that really leaves the people just left to die while, like, the government figures stuff out. Mm-hmm. Like, we watch in the beginning of this movie for, like, 45 minutes while people die.
Yeah.
And the government's just having meetings.
Yeah, and they're walking to different boardrooms.
Yeah, and, like, they're just going through, like, the red tape, and they're not even, like, trying to do anything at all. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think that that's definitely a message in this movie. It's just how difficult the government can be in a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's perfect. That's a great message that this movie has. And Godzilla is like a messenger, and no matter how deep the message is, sometimes it's about the evils of radiation, or it could be the evils of pollution, or it could be something as simple as parents not paying attention to their kids. Like, sometimes it's more down to earth thing like that. Like some of the mid-70s and 60s ones are more, they don't really talk too much about radiation. They're more about family dynamics and
mm-hmm.
How...
Well, the family stories
are
a lot stronger. Like, there's no family in this movie, but I know what you're talking about. As there's more, like, the story's more centered around a family.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, mothers were working a lot in Japan, and so were the fathers, so kids were left alone a lot. That's one of the movies is centered around that. So there's a lot of messages in Godzilla movies that people just don't give credit for.
Yeah. And something else that, you know, definitely references the... what's it called?
The tsunami and the whole disaster with that.
Yeah. Is the large concrete boom pump trucks are used to inject a blood coagulant into Godzilla's mouth in an attempt to neutralize him. Interestingly enough, these exact types of boom pumps were used to cool down the damaged nuclear reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi plant.
Yeah, those were seen on the news all the time, those pump trucks. Just that footage of them trying to cool those reactors all the time. So when they put those in the movie... That's what the Japanese
and they're
people.
Just keep trying to cool him down. So, you know, just so many parallels to natural disaster and the panic and the loss.
Yeah. And then another, it's a different parallel, but another I guess, I mean, it is a disaster for Japan.
Well, I mean, there's always parallels to nuclear destruction.
The B-2 bombers that attack Godzilla, they're from the 509 Operations Group, which is a descendant from the 509 Composite Group that actually dropped the bombs on Japan in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So that's definitely not an accident.
No, I mean, they even show the picture of the bomb. Not the bomb, but they show, like, pictures of the destruction after the bombs were dropped in the movie.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and they don't, like, say, like, these are the pictures. Like, they just show the pictures, and then they cut to a different scene. It's an obvious stylistic thing to edit those in there.
Well, it's after the diplomat from the United States who's from Japan says, I won't see my grandmother's land, you know, destroyed again.
No, I know, but it's not like somebody looking through pictures.
No. I'm just saying, like, it's a very deliberate
thing. Yeah, it's a it's a stylistic, almost abstract way to just show them in there.
Yeah. You know?
It's not... It's a non-diegetic way to show them. It's not in the scene, somebody looking at them.
Yeah.
It's just, they just edit them then edited them in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. So now on to production. Principal photography began on September 1st, 2015.
Yeah, and this is for the live action stuff. This is all the humans and them looking out, you know, and in the boardroom stuff. So this would be shot pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure all the actual CGI stuff actually take a lot longer.
Well, yeah, and it would be at a completely different location in a building, you know.
So the design of Gojira for this film was, of course, new, but sources say that the only influence from previous designs was from the 1954 Godzilla.
I can see that in, like, the shape, because he's supposed to resemble... at least his head, a mushroom cloud a little bit. But, and the hands, his hands are like just the way he's like grasping.
Yeah.
That's similar to the old one.
Oh, but, I definitely see that.
Yeah.
So some of the characters in the movie. Principal photography then wrapped at the end of October 2015.
Yeah, that's only 2 months.
So they were not long at all.
Yeah. It's not too heavy. There's not action scenes with the humans or anything. So not too much anything. No. Except for the tank scene where they were like jumping and stuff like that.
There probably was like those big, like, you know, group. Well, not group, but, you know, big action scenes with like a lot of people. And then, you know, there's a few of those.
Yeah.
But. So, and then special effects work was scheduled for November 2015. So characters... Satomi Ishihara, who plays a Japanese-American diplomat, the hardest part of her performance was to learn her English dialogue. She found out she was playing an American after being cast and was shocked by the amount of English dialogue she had to speak when she read the script.
Oh, I love her.
She's great. She's so, awesome. So good.
She's so witty and sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty.
She's amazing. She did a really great job.
I didn't know. It seems like she spoke the English like almost like she was native. So I don't know. I didn't detect her having a problem with it at all.
Yeah. So Hiroki Hasegawa, who plays Yaguchi, immediately accepted the role in the film, stating, who wouldn't want to be involved in a Godzilla production?
Yeah, I would.
Which is super true.
He worked in... He worked in Shinji Higuchi's previous films, the Attack on Titan movie.
He was in the Attack on Titan movies?
Yeah. So that's how they got to know each other, I think.
So the music in the movie. Something that's really cool that I really like about this is they use the original Godzilla song.
Oh, yeah. And it really sounds really raw. And they use the old mono recordings. And that's what really gives them those raw. And they also used roars from King Kong versus Godzilla, Terror of Mechagodzilla, and the very last one that they used, the very last roar, I think is from the first Godzilla movie. Those are the three roars that Godzilla has in the movie.
Wow. Very knowledgeable. So special effects.
If only I can monetize my knowledge of Godzilla roars.
Special effects are directed by Tokusatsu alum, special effects director, and co-director Shinji Higuchi.
As we mentioned.
One of our faves.
Yes.
This is the only Japanese live-action Godzilla movie in which the monster was created almost completely through CGI, thus abandoning the traditional suitmation effects. However, according to the effects supervisor, Atsuki Sato, Godzilla's skin was deliberately made to look like rubber as opposed to realistic animal skin.
Yeah, it does look like a suit. It looks like they were trying to at least make it a digital suit. You know?
I like it. The monster's movements were performed via motion capture, adding a live performance element to the animation. Some of Godzilla's interactions with the environment were achieved via pushing a prop through miniatures. The last shot of the monster is actually a sculpture instead of CGI.
Yeah, the last shot is practical of him standing there. So at least there is that. Of like the whole tail and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie did very, very well in Japan. It received,
hell yeah,
it had critical acclaim in Japan. Everyone loved it. I mean, probably because it gives Japan a sense of pride at the end, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it received mixed reviews from Western critics.
I can shut the fuck up.
They don't get Godzilla at all, man.
No.
This thing went to the 40th Japanese Academy Prize Awards or whatever. They're basically the Academy Awards in Japan. And it won Best Picture of the Year, Best Director of the Year, Best Cinematography, Best Art Direction, Light Direction, Sound Recording, and Film Editing.
I can't believe it didn't win any acting awards.
They were nominated. The guy that played Yaguchi was nominated. The girl was nominated. And I think the older guy was nominated. The prime minister.
The prime minister.
I think so.
He was such a dope.
Because they were supporting actors. They got best actor nominations and supporting actor nominations. But they did not win. But that's a lot of...
a lot of wins.
Yeah. So it was announced. I mean, there was a lot of rumors for a long time that there was going to be sequels to this and all that. And they came out with those animes, and the first one was okay. And then I heard the second one was really bad, and I was scared to watch it because it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something. And then I saw the trailer for the third one, and they changed Ghidorah's design, and I was really scared to watch them. This was... But anyways, regarding a sequel, besides the animes, those don't count. They are not going to do a Shin Godzilla's sequel. They are going to do more Godzilla movies, though. They're going to do they're going to take that Marvel route and do a shared cinematic universe. So I guess that means they're going to do like origin stories again and... then have them come together right now. Well, for me, I guess that's what that means.
Who knows?
I'll take any Godzilla movies.
Give it to me.
But yeah, I do love Shin Godzilla though. I'm happy it exists.
It's one of my favorites.
Everybody should watch it, even if you're not a Godzilla fan. If you're a cinema fan, Asian cinema fan. You should watch this. Just even if you don't like kaiju movies, this is a great.
It's an amazing film. Yeah,
you would love it.
Definitely.
So I love this movie. Elisa loves this movie.
Give it 5 stars, 2 thumbs up.
I give it 5 stars out of 4.
That's impossible.
2 giant kaiju thumbs up, and yeah, it's part of our no November because it's a really hideous design.
That monster is very ugly.
The nickname, because they all give nicknames for each design of Godzilla. This one is called Nightmare Godzilla, or Yeah, Nightmare G or something like that. Shinji.
Because it's very scary.
Yeah, that's what we call it. So, yeah, that's No November starting off with Shin Godzilla. You should watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, if you haven't, you really should. And if you haven't, we ruined it.
Yeah, we ruined it. But you guys have already watched this if you're our fans.
Very true.
So, well, our next episode is a doozy as well because it's another Godzilla movie.
And this one is my favorite Godzilla movie.
It's one of my favorites as well. It's Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
Woo!
The Smog Monster is crazy. He just takes the fucking skin off people.
So put on your go-go boots.
Yeah.
Get ready to choke on your lungs.
Crazy.
Because we're going to go and meet the Smog Monster.
It's a very fun movie. So I hope you had fun and
we'll see you on the other side.
And he's a god incarnate, so you better praise Godzilla.
You better praise him.
Praise Godzilla Shin Gojira. Praise him.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website. Just add that.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.